Let us read from Scripture, from Psalm 25, verses 4 through 10. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, or my transgressions according to your steadfast love. Remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, and therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. Beautiful reading, Psalm 25. If you have time, read the entire psalm. Who does not know the immortal hymn, Amazing Grace, by heart? That song is part of the very character, the very fiber of our religious expression. It's international, not only in America. We sang it years ago in South Africa. We sang it for a couple of years while I was there in the Netherlands, and this is one of the songs close to all our hearts. I don't know with you, but it never loses its character. It often brings tears of gratitude to our eyes. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Our second scripture reading is an outstanding description of God's amazing grace. Let's read from Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 10. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. And then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. And now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. Because if we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. I like this translation. It speaks the language of our times. Many of us have nightmare memories of moments in the past when we stared death in the face or experienced extreme fear. I certainly have memories of that kind. Now, psychologists say that an alarming percentage of people constantly have vague, unpleasant emotions of uncertainty and fear, and therefore they live their lives with some anticipation of some vague dangers somewhere out there. And for them, this world of ours has become a nervous one, drenched with anxiety and fear. Think about your own life. Do you harbor some fears, uncertainties, waiting for that other shoe to drop, or whatever way you call it? You know what? Today's scripture reading actually points to a way out of living a life shadowed with fears. The Bible teaches that our personal relationship with God can and will make all the difference. Deliverance of anxiety and fear, peace of mind, and rest for our souls resides at the core of our personal relationship with God. So even during the most difficult times, we can get rid of this constant anxiety, and we can live in grateful awareness of God's grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Some of our older people will remember that years ago, there was an often seen and a very successful and impressive TV commercial advertising a banking investment firm. And in a strong British accent, John Houseman would say, "We make money the old-fashioned way. We earn it." Remember that? The memorable image of John Houseman, gold watch, chain, stern, old-fashioned clothing, all that perfectly fits the description of what the scribes and Pharisees imagined that God looks like. That was their image. That's how they saw God. God, proper, solid, dependable, tolerating no nonsense, a comfort to do business with. So they gained God's favor the old-fashioned way. They thought they could earn it. And many people are still seeking to earn God's favor day after day. "God, if you would only do this for me, please, I'm scared now, do this for me. And I promise you, oh, I promise I'll do this and this and that." Are you bargaining with God Almighty? Is He a bargainer? Or is He God? Unfortunately, this wrong and sick image of God still confuses many people. Oh, let us make sure that we are not one of them. But Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians that there is no way, no way that we can earn God's favor. He says, saving is all God's idea and all His work. All we do is trust Him enough to let Him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. And then he says, because if we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. Oh, how often do we take credit when we really should give God the due? We do not receive God's grace the old-fashioned way. We simply don't. We do not earn it. It's a gift. It's God's gift to us. And that is exactly the meaning of the word grace. And that's why we can sing with all our hearts, Amazing Grace. The theme of God's unmerited and unrestrained love for humanity was so important for Paul that the word grace occurs 101 times in writings attributed to the Apostle Paul. It also appears 28 times in the rest of the New Testament. Now I wonder, why was this amazing grace truth so very important for the Apostle Paul? I think there is an answer in the Bible. Because you know what? He also had tried his best to discover the way to the heart of God, the old-fashioned way. He was the most passionate Pharisee of all. He persecuted the early church in his zeal. And the Bible tells us that Paul first met with Jesus on the way to Damascus. And there, in the dust, he accepted Christ. He believed Christ's message. And since that day, he never ever tried to earn God's grace the old-fashioned way again. He, Paul, who was in his own words the chief of sinners, finally got to know and love Jesus Christ, not because of his personal good works, but because of God's grace. And since that day, Paul desired the whole world to know that salvation is something we cannot earn. Salvation is a gift freely given once you and I begin to understand God's grace. Our lives will change in meaningful ways. I must repeat that. Once you and I begin to understand God's grace, our lives will change in many meaningful ways. In their blindness, the Pharisees said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. And because the Pharisees boasted their own moral excellence, they looked down on others. And in the process, they failed in their personal relationship with God. No, you cannot earn God's grace. You can only receive and accept it, no matter how unworthy of God's grace you and I may feel. In God's eyes, not one of us is superior to any other. And thus, just there, on that point, ends our prejudices, our racial superiority, and our classifications of who are worthy and who are not. We cannot earn God's favor. God's grace is always a call to humility, and it is also a call to compassion. And once we begin to live by God's grace in our own lives, our eyes are opened, and we can also look with compassion to others and understand that they, just like us, are fellow strugglers in an uncertain world. And when we stop dividing the world into two camps, the deserving on the one side and the undeserving on the other side, only then we begin to move towards love, understanding and acceptance of those around us, no matter who they are or where they come from. Do you see how different that is from the dog-eat-dog kind of world in which we live? When you come to God the new-fashioned way of not earning but simply receiving it, doors begin to open, inviting and challenging you and me to live a life, a new life of compassion for others. In this self-centered, competitive, prone, isolated, suspicious world, that is where we discover the presence of the kingdom of God. Let your kingdom come. Not one day, somewhere in the distant future, but let it begin right now, right here, in you and in me. And once the mask of self-righteousness is torn away from us, we also let go of our own pride and gratefully accept God's grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, oh so blind, and now I see. Amen.